Hi, I'm Jayant Sriram and welcome to In Focus, the Hindu's analysis podcast. Thanks for joining us. As often as we can on this podcast, we try and give you a snapshot of major international developments. And today is one such episode. We're talking about a conflict that's taking place in Ethiopia, where the country's Nobel Prize-winning Prime Minister, Abiy Ahmed, has started a military operation in the rebellious Tigray region in the country's north earlier this month. Mr. Abiy has said that it would be a limited campaign, focusing on the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front, the militia-cum-political party that runs that region. However, what's happened is that almost 2 weeks into the conflict, Ethiopia now risks falling into an ethnic civil war with major regional implications. I'm joined today by The Hindu's international affairs editor, Stanley Johnny, who'll tell us more about this. Stanley, welcome to the podcast again. Always a pleasure talking to you about international developments and also learning from you. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Jayant. Thanks for having me.
Right. So it was about a year ago when when we just started this podcast and we were doing an episode on the Nobel Peace Prize. And last year, the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize was Ethiopia's Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed. A lot can change in 1 year. And he's not necessarily the person we assumed at that point, who 1 year later would be perhaps on the wake of starting this ethnic civil war. So what's changed in Ethiopia, and did the Nobel Peace Prize Committee perhaps get their impressions wrong about what was going on in Ethiopia?
Yeah, see Dan, it's interesting if you look at the ethnic complexities of Ethiopia. Ethiopia is an ethno-federal state, and it is a confederation of these regions, and the regions are mostly 10 regions are there. Regions are mostly divided on ethnic lines. And even political parties represent certain ethnicities, like you have this Oromo party, you have the Amhara party, you have the Tigray party. So it's like that. So it is a divided nation. What we call an ethno-federal state. And Abiy Ahmed came to power in 2018. So he was seen, he was welcomed as a reformer. And the Nobel Committee, I won't say that Nobel Committee was completely wrong, because Abiy Ahmed had actually made a difference at the beginning of his tenure as the Prime Minister of Ethiopia, because, he reached out to the Eritreans. Ethiopia was fighting a bloody war with the Eritreans for a long time, so which actually made a difference in the ground. And then he released political prisoners, he reached out to the political opposition, he promised a freer media. So, et cetera, et cetera. So, he was seen a reformer domestically and a peacemaker in the neighborhood. So, and then especially his outreach to Eritrea won him the Nobel Peace Prize. So they were not entirely wrong. But the problem is that those who hailed Abiy Ahmed as a peacemaker, they overlooked the ethnic complexities of the country, because Abiy Ahmed came to power when Ethiopia was gripped by protests, especially driven by the Oromo people. Since 1991, when the Ethiopians overthrew the military dictatorship, Ethiopia has been ruled by, actually the first election happened in 1995, and before that there was an interim government. But practically Ethiopia was ruled by this coalition called EPRDF. Ethiopian People's Revolutionary Democratic Front. And within EPRDF, the TPLF, which is the Tigrayan Party, Tigray People's Liberation Front, Tigrayan Party was the dominant constituent within the EPRDF. So you see the Tigray leader, Mene Zelavi, he was in power since 1991 and early 2000s. Since 2012, he was in power. So EPRDF was kind of in control since 2018 until the rise of Abiy Ahmed. And it's true that EPRDF itself chose Abiy Ahmed because the country, was in a political deadlock. And Abiy Ahmed is not a Tigrayan. He's an Oromo. So, and Oromos were protesting. So they were complaining that they were being sidelined by the Tigray-dominated political coalition, EPRDF. So Abiy Ahmed came to power in 2018. The underlying ethnic angle to this is that Abiy Ahmed reached out to Eritrea. So Abiy Ahmed's, from his point of view, the war with Eritrea was a legacy war, and it was fought largely by the TPLF. Why should I continue this war? And then the Tigrayan region shares a long border with Eritrea. So basically, it was TPLF that was fighting the war, and Abiy Ahmed has brought an end to the war. So which is of course a good thing. You are ending a war means you are saving lives, But at the same time, the TPLF thought that this was one of the measures by Abiy Ahmed, taken by Abiy Ahmed to cut their influence in Addis Ababa and in the Tigrayan region. So because for them, the Eritrean authorities were sworn enemies, and your prime minister in Addis Ababa is reaching out to them. So this sidelined them. This coupled with other measures taken by Abiy Ahmed at home, like he purged the TPLF leadership from the government, key government positions. Some of them were put on trial for corruption and other charges. And then he reconstituted the government. He dissolved the former coalition, EPRDF, and he formed his own political party, Prosperity Party, in which the regional parties from other regions had also joined. So TPLF was kind of sidelined. TPLF didn't join this war, the new party. So all these actions, I think, his domestic reform actions, as well as his diplomatic outreach to Eritrea, so TPLF saw them as hostile actions by a new prime minister who is from a different ethnic community trying to consolidate more power in his hands. I think this breakup led to the current conflict.
Right. So in a way, it's a long-standing conflict, or is there a specific event that precipitated it at this point? Could you give us some context to, how long this has been going on and where things stand right now?
So it is the trigger for the current conflict was that, since Abiy came to power. So as we said, the TPLF was feeling alienated. So TPLF leadership had moved away from Addis Ababa to Mekelle, the regional capital of the Tigray region. And this disgruntlement was building up. And in August, Ethiopia was supposed to have the parliamentary elections this August. And then Abiy Ahmed postponed the election citing COVID-19 emergency. And the TPLF accused him of power grab because they wanted the elections to be held. So in defense of Addis Ababa, they held elections in the Tigray region. So Tigray region is in the northernmost tip of Ethiopia. So this was an open challenge to Abiy Ahmed's authority, One region is conducting election challenging the federal government. But Abiy waited. He didn't send any troops. He didn't, resort to any immediate action. But then he went ahead with his plan to make peace with Eritrea, which had also, upset the TPLF leadership. And then earlier this month, on November 3rd, the TPLF militia men, they attacked a federal government armed post. And then they captured ammunition and other equipment. So the government said that, the federal government in Addis Ababa said that several of its soldiers were martyred. We don't know the exact numbers yet because media are not allowed in the Tigray region as of now. This was the trigger of the conflict, So immediately after the federal armed post was attacked, Abiy Ahmed said that enough is enough. I'm sending troops to the Tigray region. So he says it will be a focused short-term war, and his war is not against the Tigray people, but he is targeting the TPLF, the political party come militia group within the region. And Ethiopian parliament also passed a resolution dissolving the regional government, which means practically taking TPLF out of power from the Tigray region. This is the immediate conflict, okay? But the context is much, much, much bigger, because Ethiopia was in a brutal military dictatorship starting 1974, from 1974 till 1991, which is called Derg. During the time of the Derg, the TPLF was the main guerrilla organization that was, because TPLF was formed in 1975 itself, and TPLF, you know, many of TPLF's old guards who are still around. So they cut their teeth in the resistance against the Derg. So they basically fought the military dictatorship from the mountains of Tigray region, and then they coordinated with other militia groups. So they built a national resistance coalition against the Derg. And in the 1987, the Derg changed its name, and then but its leadership more or less retained power. They continued till 1991. And in 1991, they were overthrown by TPLF and other guerrillas. So in 1991, TPLF was largely seen as, you know, as victors, as heroes. They were welcomed as national heroes. And then under the leadership of Zainabi, they formed the PRDF. And they formed EPRDF. Their legacy, you know, their legacy to lead Ethiopia is coming from this this resistance against the Derg. But at the same time, if you look at the ethnic composition of Ethiopia, the Tigray people, they make up some 6% of the population. Ethiopia is the second most populated country in Africa, right? They make up only 6%, whereas the Oromos make up some, say, close to 30% of the population. And then Amharas also make up a good chunk of the population. So the point is, when TPLF continued to dominate EPRDF, one criticism was that the Tigrayan people had outsized influence in the government and the military. And then other ethnic communities started complaining. They said that they are being marginalized. So this was the ethnic fault line. These were the ethnic fault lines in Ethiopia that were at work. And protests were, despite Ethiopia's, you know, super economic growth, et cetera, during the boom years, protests became, there were frequent protests, and other ethnic parties, ethnic groups were also fighting the federal government. So which led to Abiy Ahmed's eventual rise. And Abiy Ahmed is, he's not a Tigrayan, he's from the Oromo community, and Oromos are, you know, the largest ethnic group within Ethiopia. And Abiy Ahmed says that his policies are not intended to do, you know, his policies are not based on any ethnic group, etc. But his policies are intended to undo the power imbalance, to rectify the power imbalance, and then concentrate more powers in the federal government instead of the regions. And then he wants to forge a pan-Ethiopian national identity instead of this subnational, ethnic, or regional identity. This sounds all right, you know, but the problem is that, as we discussed, the ethnic as well as the regional compositions in Ethiopia are too complex, and there are different power groups. So Abiy's push for reforms, political reforms at home, were largely, it was seen as a power grab to concentrate more power in the federal government, and the regional autonomy was at stake. So some of these regional groups started revolting. And TPLF being TPLF, which was in power for, say, you know, from 1991 to 2018, for a long time. So TPLF being the strongest group, and also an ethnic group, which is now feeling, being marginalized by the new government at Addis Ababa, has taken up arms to fight the government. So this is the larger context.
Right. And what do we know about Meles Zainabi, who is the TPLF leader? Is he still very active in these movements?
I don't think so, because TPLF leadership, I think, now is basically the former intelligence chief of the Ethiopian government, who's hardly seen. I think I remember reading a story in Wall Street Journal the other day saying that only one photograph of this man is available, when one British ambassador met him and took a photo. So he is seen as the leader of the militia group in the Tigray region, and most of the leadership, the actual leadership, have shifted to Mekelle. They are not even in Addis Ababa. So it is now this former intelligence chief is there, and the old guard of not Zainabi, who were in political power, who were the mainstream leaders, but the shadowy leaders are now commanding TPLF from Mekelle. This is the problem, you know, this is the problem many analysts are now posing, because TPLF knows its mountains, and TPLF actually thrived in this guerrilla warfare. They knew Zenawi survived this, you know, two-decade-long resistance against the Derg. So the point is, even when the Prime Minister says that it would be a short operation, many doubt whether it would be a short operation because of TPLF's history. It is predominantly a mountain-based guerrilla organization which had survived the Derg when it was a brutal military dictatorship. And how is Abiy Ahmed going to defeat them? And also, it also risks, you know, the campaign also risks plunging the country into an ethnic conflict, because TPLF had fired some missiles into the Amhara region last week, because it could trigger conflict between the regions within Ethiopia, and it could also endanger Abiy Ahmed's diplomatic agenda abroad, because they have targeted Eritrea as well. So you have an ethnic problem, you may have an ethnic problem at home, and you will have a geopolitical problem abroad if this conflict is going on.
So from what you're saying, it sounds like the TPLF has kind of retained that essential militia character to it as an organization, and hasn't really, despite being part of the being part of the ruling coalition for long, hasn't really integrated into the sort of mainstream politics in that sense. Is that right?
Yeah, in a sense, TPLF was the establishment for these many years, and then suddenly it changed. And suddenly it changed, and when Abiy Ahmed came, he ousted them from the intelligence leadership, from the key ministries. So there was a purge in 2018 and 2019. So TPLF was ousted from the establishment, changed basically. There are new political bosses are there. So what TPLF did is that it retained its militia strength because it controlled the region, right? Tigray region has been under its control. So it retained its military character, it retained its military powers or whatever. So it also retained its control over the Tigray region. So what TPLF did, when it lost power in Addis Ababa, it receded to the Tigray region, which is its base. Right. So that it never abandoned its base. So now what Abiy Ahmed is doing is to purge them from their base as well. He has done it already in Addis Ababa. Now he wants to take them out of power in the Tigray region. This is the contradiction.
And, are there any larger geopolitical implications for the region around them, you know, other countries around them with this conflict?
Yeah, interestingly, there was a report in Foreign Policy the other day saying that Sudan holds the key.
Okay.
And it's an interesting argument. Why? Because you should look at Ethiopia's map. As I said, Tigray region is in the northern tip of Ethiopia, and it shares border with largely with Eritrea, and then with Sudan as well. So the Eritrea border will be sealed because Eritrea and TPLF are sworn enemies. But then the refugees are flowing actually across the border into Sudan. Some 20,000 refugees have already gone to Sudan. And TPLF historically enjoyed very good ties with Sudan. But the problem is that when TPLF enjoyed good ties with Sudan, TPLF was power in Addis Ababa through EPRDF. And Sudan was ruled by Omar Bashir.
Right.
And Omar Bashir was ousted from power in Sudan last year. Now there is a transition government in Sudan, in which both the military and civilian leadership are part of. So the point is, the question is whether TPLF still enjoys the clout which it enjoyed earlier in Khartoum, or whether Sudan's new leadership is ready to play a long game. Why Sudan should play a long game is because Sudan has, there is some disputed border problem between Sudan and Ethiopia's Amhara region. So perhaps Sudan would like to do this. Sudan would like to do a favor to TPLF by keeping its old links active, by allowing TPLF guerrillas to cross the border, and allow supplies because they need, which is a landlocked region otherwise. They need medical supplies, they need ammunition, they need weapons, equipment, etc., etc., if they want to continue the war, which Sudan did earlier. And then if Sudan, suppose that Sudan thinks that prolonging this conflict will help Sudan while negotiating its own problem, border disputes with Ethiopian leadership in Addis Ababa, Sudan could actually prolong this conflict by keeping the border open. But we don't know whether it would actually happen. But the point is that if Sudan decides to do it, Abiy Ahmed's plans to do a short campaign in Tigray may not be fulfilled. This conflict may go on. And the second possibility is that we know that the TPLF doesn't like Abiy Ahmed's diplomatic outreach to Eritrea. So right. The peace process has not been, it is an ongoing thing. And the TPLF guerrillas, rebels had fired some rockets into Eritrean capital last week. So what if they continue to do it? Because they control the border. They are, TPLF militias are have a strong presence in the Tigray region just across the Eritrean border. So what if they continue to attack Eritrea? They would pull Eritrea also into the conflict, which would derail Abiy Ahmed's peace process completely. So yeah, it has an important geopolitical angle, and geopolitical as well as the domestic angle. So domestically, the key is if Abiy is concluding this fight quickly, then it is a safe bet for him. He can take the TPLF out of the Tigray region. But if right. he fails to do it, like the Derg failed to do at one point of time, if he fails to do it, if the conflict goes on, it could derail Abiy's domestic reforms agenda as well as his foreign policy agenda.
Right. Okay. We'll wrap it up there, Stanley. I think that we've explained all the aspects of it, and we'll continue to keep a watch on this issue as always. And thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast.
Sure. Thank you, Jay.
In Focus will be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.